I cover higher education, and I was still surprised to learn the scope of international students' contributions to U.S. colleges and universities' bottom lines. Some foreign students are leaving these schools, as I report today, and that's creating a real shortfall. The University of New Haven in Connecticut has lost 3,000 international graduate students over the past 2 years, mostly from STEM programs. President Jens Fredriksen told me that their absence amounts to 17% of the school's budget. Schools affix blame in different ways. Even as they hope for signs of a rebound, most agree a trickle back won't be enough, and offsets will only get harder to find. It's Wednesday, May 20th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A NATO jet shot down a Ukrainian drone in Estonia's airspace. Lately, a series of Ukrainian drones targeting Russia have flown over some Baltic nations without permission. Ukraine, which is not a NATO member, has blamed Russian electronic jamming for the wayward paths of some drones, including one that recently crashed into a fuel storage facility in Latvia. Accusations about the failure to protect Latvia's airspace led to the collapse of the government coalition and the resignation of Prime Minister Evika Selena. Estonia's defense minister, Hanno Pevkur, told Ukraine that trajectories of attacks on Russia have to be as far from the NATO territory as possible. Minnesota banned prediction markets. The bill, signed on Tuesday by Democratic Governor Tim Walz and effective August 1st, makes Minnesota the first state to statutorily prohibit the operation of companies such as Kalshi and Polymarket, which allow bets on everything from the outcome of elections to sports. Of concern is that prediction markets are being gamed by those with insider knowledge, including government employees. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission announced on Tuesday that it is suing Minnesota on the grounds that regulating prediction markets is a federal matter. Also, global solar photovoltaic capacity is heating up. In 2025, photovoltaic PV installations grew by 16% globally, reaching nearly 3 terawatts. A terawatt equals 1 trillion watts. PV supplied more than 10% of global electricity demand and around 12% of electricity consumption, and is becoming a cornerstone of modern electricity systems, according to a new International Energy Agency report. 39 countries installed at least 1 gigawatt of PV capacity in 2025. China accounted for 60% of installations, followed by the European Union, India, and the United States. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or on our app for the latest news. Ukraine has turned its enviable advances in drone technology into a diplomatic asset. Not so long ago, President Volodymyr Zelensky visited foreign capitals to beg for assistance. Now, he seals deals for drone sales and tech sharing, making Ukraine a desirable security partner. Howard LaFranchi reports from Kyiv, Ukraine for The Monitor. Donald Trump was trying to ease tensions with China during his visit to Beijing last week. Vladimir Putin's trip, however, is intended to bolster Russia's long-standing relationship with China and to limit their vulnerability to the effects of U.S. adventurism. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. Enrollment of graduate students from abroad is plunging at U.S. schools, leaving them with gaping holes in their budgets. Experts blame restrictive visa and travel policies that are dampening the usually strong demand for American higher education. I reporter and Alfredo Sosa, report from West Haven, Connecticut for The Monitor. About 35% of Pakistani kids ages 5 to 16 don't attend school. Over the past three decades, the nonprofit Pehli Kiran has taught more than 25,000 children in the Pakistani capital's slum areas. Contributor Hassan Ali reports from Islamabad for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a welcome spotlight on China's Christians. One unexpected result from last week's China-U.S. summit was that Chinese leader Xi Jinping told President Donald Trump that he would consider releasing the country's most prominent Christian pastor, Ezra Zhengmingra, from detention. Whether the release happens or not, the mere fact that Mr. Xi had to respond favorably to the U.S. leader's request confirmed an obvious point to the country's religious faithful. The Chinese Communist Party does not control the narrative of what their persecution means. God does. Last October, when police rounded up Mr. Jin and more than 20 other pastors in a major crackdown, his Beijing Zion Church issued this statement: "The church belongs to God, not to any political power." Such conviction might help explain why, by some estimates, the number of Christians in China remains close to the party's total membership despite decades of repression, frequently raising curiosity among many Chinese about Christianity. Another pastor at Zion Church, Sean Long, told the Wall Street Journal, "It's the highest honor for a Christian for people like Pastor Jin being put in prison. That's exactly the mark of following Jesus." Researchers have been exploring reasons for Christianity's popularity in China over recent decades. In a new book, China's War on Faith, co-author Sam Brownback gave one reason. "The Chinese have long been a very spiritual people, searching for meaning despite the party's forceful suppression of religious faith." Mr. Brownback, a former U.S. senator from Kansas and a former ambassador for international religious freedom, conducted interviews with many survivors of such persecution for his book. "Their stories have moved me to tears," he wrote. In a report released in February by the Switzerland-based Religious Scope Institute, researchers asked believers in China about the resilience and popularity of Mr. Jin's church since its founding in 2007. The story of the Beijing Zion Church, and indeed many other unregistered churches, is not only a story of the faithful persevering through oppression. It is one in which hope and faith are challenged and in turn given meaning to by suffering and sacrifices, wrote the report's author, Kwan Yuk Singh. Religious faith, he added, is the last of human freedom described by Viktor Frankl, one that denies the pain and fear from becoming controlled. For China's Christians, spiritual growth comes through suffering, Mr. Kwan wrote, and challenges the authority of the state to determine the meaning of punishment. Or as Feng Geng Yang, a Purdue University sociologist, told the Wall Street Journal, "Christians in China feel they have to be the light, perhaps even from a prison cell." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how glimpsing our eternal existence in God, divine love, brings light to grief-stricken hearts. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thieber.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.